The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Devin Henry from the airport. Big Devin, sport of speed. He is heading to Kansas City for NASCAR this week. Thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. It is all about you and Tim Hovick. We appreciate their support. Devin is going to be in Kansas City doing a lot around NASCAR. We have basically said, Devin, just go. Please go away and go to Las Vegas. And he did. He got great stories. Please go to Kansas City. And he did. And then Phoenix Raceway in 2 weeks, which is the championship. It's already all sold out. Devin has that figured out inside and out. I love growing platforms. It starts with just one person. It goes to 10 and 20 and just... And love seeing how it's grown. So Devin will be with us. And there's some other things we'll get to as well. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. I saw where Jeff Meshi put on LinkedIn today that today is National Credit Union Day. Desert Financial Credit Union. Appreciate their support. I was at the Suns game last night, and they weren't good. They lost their opener, didn't shoot straight. The loudest cheers were for Chris Paul. Chris Paul was announced yesterday as one of the 75 great players in NBA history. He received the loudest cheers last night when he was introduced. I wouldn't say it was, I don't know, the loudest that I've heard the arena. I wouldn't say that. But, you know, for an opening night, to get blown out at home by Denver, not the way you want to go. And they play on Friday night against the Lakers. The whole thing on this is I'm talking about basketball games on October 21st. The season doesn't end until the middle of April. You're going to be doing your taxes when the season ends. And so it's just a long-ass run. And through this long run, you're going to have unforeseen injury. When times are slow and people are going to be looking for things to talk about and write about, they'll write about whether or talk about whether Ayton is being impacted by not being given a contract extension. That is called filling time. Unless there is like documentable proof where his numbers drag off and you have him just loafing around, which I didn't see last night. He played hard, got big cheers from the fans. Fans in Phoenix, very much on the side of the players, as they should be for a team that went all the way to the Western Conference titles. I had some fans that sent me notes last night complaining that they didn't have a banner unfurling ceremony. I guess I look at it and say, yeah, the Western Conference championship banner is up, but if you didn't win it, you know, you didn't win it. So what's the point? What is the point? We don't always have to give awards for finishing in second place. And it just gives you a little bit more motivation. You know who got the loudest ovation of the reserves was Cam Payne. Cam Johnson and Cameron Payne both just thunderous rounds of applause. And then Cameron Payne spoke to the crowd. It was very nice. It was very short, very sweet. Get back and get after it. So I went to the opener of the Coyotes on Monday night. I was at the opener for the Suns last night. Two teams in completely different stratospheres. The arena had a good buzz around it, good vibe around it. All in all, you know, we're off with two sports. And as we sit here on Thursday, we look ahead to Sunday. The line for the Cardinals probably went up again just here in the opening. It's up to 18. I can't ever remember any team, any line being around 18 points. And yet that's where they are. 18. And Cliff Kingsbury's not even back in there with them yet. And they're not sure that he's going to be there. I don't know if they need to have him in there, the way Kyler Murray was talking about it yesterday. I'm interested to see on Sunday. They should pound Houston. And even if they win by one, I simply don't care. I'm already looking ahead to a week from tonight. It's Green Bay. It's here. It's nationally televised. It's going to be a thing next week. All the people are going to be talking about. Yeah, ASU plays Washington State. They're going to honor the 96 Rose Bowl team. But the timing, there's not a chance that I'm sitting here on Monday, the Cardinals being 6-1. I just simply can't see it. And usually it's in reverse. We know this to be true. Teams sit there with their calendars and circle the W's and the L's. And all of a sudden, here are the teammate right here in our own hometown is undefeated, and they're an 18-point favorite. Who had it? Who thought it? I think the story of the day in college football is it's not so much that Nick Rolovich at Washington State is suing the university. That was predictable. It's that I'm hearing people and seeing people taking sides politically on a football coach and whether or not he should have been terminated because as a state employee, he refused to get vaccinated. He refused, and the university said, well, this is the way it works in our state, so we refuse to continue to employ you. Goodbye. So he turns around and he sues. And I'm not surprised by this. I mean, that was coming. It's sad if you think about it. If you just take a step back and put all the political stuff to the margins, if you can just possibly do that, if you can possibly for a moment put everything to the side and think of the 122 college kids, college players who are there and their coach is their leader and the coach is employed by the state and the state said, this is what we're going to do. And the coach is like, well, I'm not going to do that. So then you have, okay, here's a man who's standing by his principles. Or there's 122 college age kids who said, I am going to commit to Washington State because I believe in what my coach in the football program is all about. I'm going to say no to any of these other schools that have recruited me. All these other opportunities that I have been presented to play football, I trust this coach at Washington State University. And so they sign the dotted line. If you're the parent of the player, you put yourself in that position. Actually, know a player's parents that are at Washington State. I'm planning on reaching out to them. Because do they look at it and say, we totally respect the coach, or... this put our kid in a really bad situation, really, really bad situation. Because I've heard it both ways. You know, I've seen it on social. Well, there's a man stood by his principles. Really? That's what the state said? And instead of resigning, he just took it all the way down into the regular season. He won 3 games in a row. And he's like, nope, it's just how it's going to be. So then he lawyered up. Now he's putting a lawsuit out there. In the meantime, these kids have got to get used to somebody else in the middle of their season that they didn't sign up for this. So it's a sad, sad story. And yeah, the political side of it, it's like what's going on with In-N-Out Burgers. In-N-Out Burgers are requiring vaccination cards, so an In-N-Out owner in San Francisco said, we're not going to do this. Like, it's Looney Tunes, the stuff that you're seeing. It's just crazy, the division that's out there. And when it falls into my little sandbox, which is sports, and I've got to weigh in on it, and I've got to look at it, you know, I just there's just days where I look at what is going on and how it is infiltrating more and more the sports side of things. Fortunately, in the Cliff Kingsbury case, he's going to be fine, it sounds like. And there has been the conversation of how far is this going to go in all of pro sports. And so that's something that, you know, that you really have to look at and consider. From there, the baseball playoffs last night. Well, first of all, on the baseball side, so Mike Farron, who I really like. I like giving attention to announcers in town. Mike Farron did the Diamondbacks. He filled in on the radio side, and he did the pre and the post. And he sounded great. He sounded great doing play-by-play. He sounded like he was having fun. He sounded prepared. He sounded like he wanted to be there. And his post-game shows after just an awful, awful situation with that team were always fun and insightful, very knowledgeable, was the main guy on the morning show over on Sirius XM on their baseball channel. Mike resigned from the Diamondbacks. And they've lost a lot of good people over there, you know, a lot. And there's something not right when you're letting really good people just walk out and say, yeah, I'm too well to attend here. I'm going to move on. And, you know, I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I'm never going to know what happened behind the scenes. But I know this, that someone like Mike Farron is not going to be on the street for very long. And he was a really good talent, and it's disappointing to see him get away. So, you know, on the games last night, I was listening to the Dodger game driving home and the Braves from the Suns, and the Braves just blew them out, 4 home runs. So, is the Dave Roberts run about to come to an end? hearing that, how do you sell Atlanta against Houston in a World Series? Like, even the most ardent, our late friend Pedro Gomez would say, well, people are going to watch, and he'd give me explanations, and I would nod my head and say, you know what, that makes sense. I agree with you on that. Myself, I'm going to have a hard time next week, other than it's the World Series, if in fact this goes through. Astros are up 3-2. Braves are up 3-1. Looking very much like we're going to have an Atlanta against Houston World Series. And that's about it. What's going on today? I mean, there's a few other little things I'll get to, but up next, Devin Henry, Sport of Speed. He doesn't like it when I say that. He's going to zoom in from the airport as he's heading to Kansas City. Thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. And we will continue on a Thursday. Stay with us. All right, as promised, Devin is with us. Devin Henry, he is heading off. You are going to Kansas City. Thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. Phoenix Raceway, November 5th and 7th is right around the corner. I guess my question is, this race this Sunday, why are you even going? Why bother? Kyle Larson is just crushing everybody. So what is going on with him first and the buildup for this to Phoenix? Let's just start there.
Well, Kyle Larson has been the guy almost all year long. And this is someone who just got thrown into Hendrick Motorsports. And he was racing for Chip Ganassi Racing last year, the past few years. And, you know, he was good. And I think that was the expectation going in for him. It's okay, he'll be in a new car, new team. He'll be good. No, he's fantastic. He's downright incredible in what he's able to do. And this is a guy who goes out and runs dirt races on the weekdays. And who knows where, goes out and wins those, fly on over on Saturday somewhere else, fly Sunday on the cup race, and he'll win four nights in a row in four different disciplines. It's incredible what he's doing. And so you're right in the fact it's currently who can beat Kyle Larson. And first and foremost, you have to do it here in Kansas, right? So if one of the eight playoff drivers wins this weekend at Kansas Speedway, they're right to the championship four at Phoenix Raceway. So if you want the easiest path to go fight for a championship, round number two is right here at Kansas. You win that race, you know the next time you head out west, you're going to fight for a championship.
Okay, you talked to Kyle Busch when you're up in Vegas, and you have seen others that are in this race, and I don't have them all in front of me, but I know Denny Hamlin is near or at the top. So give me a couple guys as you're going to Kansas City, and you're there this weekend covering it. You're like, okay, Brad, I think this guy may have a shot.
Well, Denny Hamlin last year was one of the top two drivers in all of NASCAR. Him and Kevin Harvick, which Kevin Harvick is already sayonara. He's already knocked out of the playoffs. When it comes to Denny Hamlin, though, this is a guy who was expected to go out and compete for that championship from week one. And then he didn't win a single race the first 26 weeks of the regular season. So he went into the playoffs as almost a non-contender after being thought of as a favorite. Then when I was in Las Vegas, that's the guy who I chat with in victory lane. Locks himself into the next round. Now, all of a sudden, he is on fire. And this is a guy who I think when we go to Kansas, you know, Brad, I like to try to mix up who I talk to at the racetrack, but I'm afraid that I'm going to have to talk to Denny Hamlin again in victory lane. Yeah. He's just been doing that well as of late. Chase Elliott, the defending champion, the fan favorite, if you will. He's someone who hasn't quite been as hot. And I think that he's almost, I don't want to say an underdog, but the expectations are high. And, you know, I think that it was already expected of him to be almost in that championship four in terms of points. But maybe this is a guy where, you know, next week at Martinsville, he's very strong as well. So that's another guy that you look at and go, okay, he's doing great. And then the three Penske drivers, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, those two are champions. But the guy who's beating both of them is their teammate, Ryan Blaney. And I think that Ryan Blaney can be a dark horse in all of this and will end up at Phoenix Raceway with a chance to fight for a championship. So I think Ryan Blaney is someone to watch this weekend as a guy who might be able to win and be the guy that I think everyone expected to be knocked out last round. All of a sudden, he's going to compete for a championship potentially.
Devin Henry from our team at Sports 360 AZ on the I call it Sport of Speed. You don't like that. We'll figure out some little medium in the middle here. thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. He's going to be at Kansas City this weekend. And, of course, Phoenix Raceway, in 2 weeks, the championship will be decided. You know, a lot of it around NASCAR, from what I've heard and seen through the years, is the personalities. So is there someone you really like talking to? Is there someone you're like, gosh almighty, if this person ends up in victory lane, I'm just going to be pulling my hair out?
Hey, I have bucket list ones. I go to the track and I know, okay, I might have a chance to interview a driver. And I always have, okay, I hope so-and-so wins because I can't wait to talk to them when they're at their most excited, right? But that's something we're going into this weekend. That's something that I look at first and foremost and go, okay, who do I want to talk to this week? And so we're going to talk with Tucson's Alex Bowman on Sunday. That interview will be out before the race. And also a great personality who's now a part of the NBC booth, and he's trying to get back into the sport. I can't believe that he hasn't been given an opportunity to race full-time, Parker Kligerman, who has been a phenomenal activist in sponsorship activation. So we're going to talk a little bit about how he's activating sponsorships. And then another interview that we'll be doing on Saturday is a young man named Roger Caruth. And this is someone through the Drive for Diversity program who has a fantastic personality. I've been able to interact with him before in the sim racing community. But that's another guy who I'm looking forward to chatting with. But, you know, when I look at what might just happen this weekend, Harrison Burden is the son of Jeff Burden, the nephew of Ward Burden, a pair of NASCAR drivers who you might have heard of before, and did an interview with him a couple weeks ago. And that's just a personality in the NASCAR Xfinity Series who is a ton of fun to chat with. So if he's in victory lane this weekend, that would be great. And then be sure to stay tuned for next week, too, on Sports 360 AZ. A young man by the name of Ben Rhodes will be chatting with a very private, personal life, but such a fun personality to talk to that I'll have the opportunity to chat with and post on the website next week.
Devin is very humble about all this stuff. He's been nominated for an Emmy off of one of his stories, and that will be on November 5th, I should say. And you're not even going to be there because you're going to be out at the track. Do you, when you go to like Kansas City this weekend, do you sleep? Do you shower? Do you do anything other than, I mean, you're just rattling it off here. Like you have this, you know, all the series, you're geeked out on this. Like, and what do you know about this track?
Well, first of all, it's a mile and a half. And typically those are called the cookie cutters. Back when NASCAR was really growing into the 80s and 90s, NASCAR said, let's go build a bunch of tracks. And they made them essentially all the same size, almost all the same shape. But every single one of those tracks has just this unique characteristic. And at Kansas, multi-group racing is fantastic. And it's funny, my brother's sitting here next to me. And when we were at Vegas, you know, I went to the infield. I was like, oh my gosh, Chase, there's grass in the tri-oval. We don't have that at Phoenix. We don't have grass at the race. So I'm excited to see the grass in the tri-oval this weekend in person. Something I don't get to see at the track. But yes, I am a mama's boy, so I need my 8 hours every night. So
grass in the tri-oval.
Yeah,
grass in the tri-oval.
Oh my gosh, it looks
I never thought that'd show up on this show.
I don't know. I love the way that tracks can be. And no, you know, Brad, when it comes down to end zones in football, when they're able to masterfully create a piece of art, you know, and they do that in NASCAR all the time. And I don't know. I'm geeked out about that for some reason. But yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, I live it, I breathe it, I eat it, and I need my 8 hours of sleep. I need my three meals, up to four meals a day when I'm traveling and burning all those calories. But, you know, as much time as I can spend at the racetrack, I mean, I'm at a racetrack in the infield talking with drivers. And Victor, why would I not be excited to go out
when these
there
drivers and see you walking towards them? Do they like, oh no, or
Oh yeah, or
are they like, hey man, what's going on?
It's funny because there's been a couple drivers who I've had prior run-ins with in the sim world again in the sim racing community, and I'll introduce myself, and they're like, yeah, I know, and I'm like, why? Like, no, I mean, literally, there's a couple of drivers who
are okay, such maybe, a dope. Why? What do you mean? Why?
Who am I? Who am I?
Jeez, you're Devin freaking Henry. That's who you are on the track. But
that's my favorite part about NASCAR is, okay, once you get to the top series, I mean, it's just like any other sport, getting to chat with them one-on-one on camera or on a microphone. It's hard to do because of their busy schedules, but there's not a single personality in any of NASCAR's top three series. That's up to 80, 90 guys. That I'm like, yeah, don't talk to them. That's not a guy you want. Like, they're all so inviting, personable. I mean, it's really cool how NASCAR is still a community with everything that has changed. And so that's very, it makes you feel good when you walk in the garage and you just have a fun conversation with the guy. And I've never had a bad experience with any driver.
All right, get out of here. Get on your flight. I'll let you go.
Will do. Thank you for letting me come out here. And thanks to Santan Ford for letting me come out here. It's going to be a great, great time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Safe travels. There's Devin Henry, and we're back with more after this timeout.